This is 702 for the curious.
It's 18 minutes to 9 o'clock and I'm standing in for Karima. My name is Aubrey Masang. What a conversation with Kaius Tole about the public spat that has been going on with regards to the Reserve Bank amongst ANC leaders. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts as we continue with the show. But in this segment, I'm going to be speaking to the spokesperson of the Department of Water and Sanitation, Prasputnik Ratau. I haven't spoken to Prasputnik in a long time. Prasputnik, good evening to you and thank you very much for joining us.
Good evening, Aubrey.
It's been years, man.
Yes, it has been a while.
Indeed, indeed. Are you well?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Yeah, I'm very well, very, very well, Prasputnik. So you are making the call, particularly to Gauteng water consumers, to lessen our consumption. Why?
Well, as you indicated in your intro, Aubrey, that the dam levels, the integrated Vaal River system, is at a level that is much lower than where it was a year ago. And basically it is because you remember that the advent of the rain, this past rainy season actually was very late.
Yeah.
Because between September and almost the mid-December, we didn't see that much rainfall. And yet we saw high levels of temperatures. And those actually have led to a sharp decline in the dam levels that supply the integrated Vaal River system. And therefore, the rains that we experienced between January and the end of April were not sufficient to raise the dam level in the integrated Vaal River system to the levels at least of where it was a year ago. And that obviously is a concern for us, because if we continue to consume almost like there is no tomorrow, then we will put a strain on the system.
The conversation around the arid nature of our part of the world, the fact that we are not a very water-rich country, the recent challenges that the Western Cape suffered, with the whole conversation about the fear towards day zero and all of those conversations have led to a conversation in South Africa about our preparedness to deal with the possibility of even greater water shortages. How prepared are we, Prasputnik, for an eventuality where we might not have the kinds of rains that we're looking for?
Well, in truth, is the fact is that we are not receiving the rains that we would hope for ordinarily, even at the best of times. But now, also at the tail end of the drought that we experienced between 2014 and 2017, early part of 2018, obviously that has put a huge strain on water availability. Married to that is the fact that the impact of climate change is a reality to the weather patterns that we have, that we experience. Obviously, they are more intermittent than before, and therefore the predictability of rain and become quite difficult. And also South Africa depends particularly on surface water, which obviously comes from rain for its water. And that is why part of the work that the department is doing, and obviously the government broadly, is to look at what new sources of water are there or could there be for us to be able to tap into. And that includes obviously the issue of looking at groundwater, which we've been raising awareness about in the last month or so. We're looking at other sectors, including whether the possibilities of desalination are still there in the water mix. We're looking at how much we can be able to utilize as well the transboundary waters. You remember that South Africa actually shares about 7 rivers with some of our nearest neighbors. So those are some of the things that we need to be looking at. But obviously, that is married to the fact that the issue of water conservation and water demand management remains topmost in order for us to be able to be a water-conscious country.
So we are in a situation now in Gauteng where the dam levels are maybe not alarmingly, but significantly going down. What practically are you asking the people of Gauteng to do in this regard, Brasputnik?
I think some of the things that we might be looking at is for people to adhere, especially to the water restrictions that are being implemented by primarily our metro, and together with Randwater. You remember that in the last week or two, Randwater did indicate to the metro that they would be reducing the pressure of the water that they are advancing to them in order for them to be able to make sure that the system remains stable and that we can be able to start looking at how we need to be able to look after the water that we have. But obviously, that is not the only thing that we need to be looking at, the issue of water restrictions. Remember that at the moment, we haven't even come to the point of gazetting for water restrictions as a department, because the levels, though they are declining in the IBRS, but they are not yet at the situation where we might need to take that as a last resort. But also, it's just a question of looking after the little things. You know, if we can be able to use grey water instead of potable water in some of our uses, especially outside of our homes and in other industrial uses, that can be very helpful, because then the issue is that we need to reduce the strain on the available potable water more than just water generally.
Yeah. Call us now, 011-883-0702. I'm in conversation with Sputnik Ratau, spokesperson for the Department of Water and Sanitation. What are some of your concerns around the issue of the scarcity of water, our receding dam levels, the fact that we live in an arid country, basically, and, of course, the effects of climate change? What are your concerns? I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. Brasputnik, this person on the WhatsApp line says, "Hi, this is Norma from the Val. Honestly, the water issue is bigger than us. As much as we want to try to spare water, these flat taps, bathroom taps, toilets, and leaking water is being wasted. And if all these landlords also fix the taps, it could save more water. Residents also don't want to fix leakages. Can we fix that and get to those who are watering their grass daily?" What do you say to that, Brasputnik?
It is a truth that, you know, water saving doesn't just look at the major or the bulk infrastructure. Yeah. It also starts where we are, where I am as a person. If I am going to make sure that my taps are always closed when I don't use the water, when I don't have to run the water for unnecessary purposes, you know, some of the things that we know we do, especially maybe if we look at what happens in the townships, or maybe even in some of the more rural areas, where maybe we could just leave the tap running and go and have a conversation somewhere. But it's not just us in those areas. If you look at whether we are actually making use of any water harvesting efforts, a lot of us are not, and that is not just for the poorer areas, but also if we are able to save a whole amount of water from even the affluent areas by simply using more grey water for other uses and so on, we can be able to really come to the party and make sure that we are able to save water as much as we can. Industry as well. If we reduce pollution, if we reduce or rather look at other times for irrigation instead of in the middle of the day when the temperatures are high, we can be able to save water, because then we have less evaporation early in the morning or early in the dusk.
Yeah. I've had calls from listeners in the past regarding this issue, Brasputnik, where people have said that we aren't as robust as we should be in putting in place preventative measures of the possible water shortages that we could be looking at. In fact, somebody called me who was an engineer and said one of the things we should be starting to to explore is the underground parking lots and the channeling of rainwater and creating all sorts of some sort of reservoir in the very many buildings that we have. Are we thinking besides the usage of grey water and harvesting of rainwater and JoJo tanks and being less wasteful? Are we thinking about those kinds of infrastructural changes that would signify a more aggressive sort of dealing with our water shortage in our country?
I think it's part of the discussions that need to happen going forward. I think it's correct that maybe we haven't been as robust as we should have been in terms of what we needed to be discussing in so far as water reuse and water recycling and so on is concerned. But I think maybe we could also be able to take advantage of the closer relationship that we now have as the Department of Water and Sanitation with the Department of Housing to see how we can be able to start engaging, especially with the property developers and so on and so forth, because obviously that implies that there would need to be a discussion even before we the first brick is put on the ground, so that we can be able to be sure exactly what it is that we are looking at.
Let's take a few calls. Lebogile is in Johannesburg. Hi, Lebogile.
Good evening, Aubrey. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Lebogile. Go ahead. What is on your mind?
Aubrey, I would like to commend the spokesperson. I think he's really got his head straight on his shoulders. Just a few thoughts, Aubrey. Number one, we really are trying to cut down water usage to the minimum. But, you know, I've got lots of friends, family, relatives living on the West Rand. Now, in the West Rand Basin, as you know, there's the whole acid water drainage issue, Number two, the restrictions are so severe that they've actually set the water, which is distributed to each household at a certain amount, whereby if you go over that usage now, you're penalized when your water starts flowing slower.
Yes.
So I'm just wondering, Aubrey, what about all the new mining licenses which are being issued? Mm. We know for a fact all the water that gets used when all this mining and this gas shaling is going on. What about all, because we've got a lot of governmental buildings that have got fountains, which I think, yes, it's aesthetically pleasing. It could be put off at night.
Indeed. Now I hear you, and your call sounds very much like the calls we used to hear just before the electricity crisis around government buildings in the cities, and so forth. All right, let's hear what Sputnik has to say, Bra Sputnik.
Yeah, very interesting, and I think, am I still there?
You're definitely still here. Yeah, go ahead.
I thought I had escaped.
Yeah.
But I think it's part of this whole discussion that we need to be looking at. And it's true that if government can give a lead in terms of that, whether we switch off the lights at night or whether we switch off the water in the fountains when we don't need them, I think those are things that need to come in. But also, we need to also look at the examples of some of the government departments that have gone ahead of a lot of us. For instance, the Department of Environmental Affairs has really gone out of its way to make sure that it occupies a green building. That speaks to all of the things that we need to do, not just to respond to water issues, but to also respond to climate change and the footprint that it is giving into the area in which it is. So it is a number of things, but yes, that discussion has got to happen, including obviously looking at the kind of capacity that might be available in the private sector that we need to engage more, not just in terms of funding, but also in terms of just the capacity within the knowledge system that are there, and maybe that we are losing as government because of better pace elsewhere.
Okay. But Sputnik, I'm getting the sense that there's a lot of things that need to be talked about. When are we going to start seeing action?
There are a lot of things that have got to be talked about. There is a lot that is being talked about already. And that is why one of the things that we have been dealing with over the last year to 2 years is the issue of putting together the water and sanitation master plan, the National Water and Sanitation Master Plan.
All right, Rasputnik, I'm being told I have to let you go. Listen, we need to have this conversation and continue with it. Let's take a break, and then we take the news.